Well, hello, welcome everybody. I'm glad you're with me tonight. Get your Bibles and let's get started. I just want to make one announcement first. I know that we're receiving calls on Brother Randy Avila's homegoing service. And if you haven't heard, that is going to be February 9th at the Porterville Crematory and Funeral Home. On February 9th, on Tuesday, that's a Tuesday. I'm sorry I don't have the time for you, but I will have that Sunday for sure, okay? I think that just missed me, didn't have that information with me when I came. But you'll see it. I'm sure it's already on Facebook, on our page anyway. Well, let's pray before we get started. Thank you all for watching tonight, and we're going to continue to pray for Sister Helen. And we just want her to come out totally whole and healed. So let's do that right now. Brother Mike is at home doing well. Rick is back at work. So a lot of things are going good. So we're just going to join together tonight in prayer. Wonderful Jesus, you are with us. Emmanuel is with us and in us. And just as though you were here right here on this set with us tonight, you were there with Helen Parker, our sweet sister and friend. And Father, we just build a wall of fire around the woman of God, and we press in, Lord. We have pressed in for her divine healing and her health in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the way you have brought the others home. And Lord, for some reason you saw fit to call Randy and Maureen, but Lord, we release them to you. And again, we honor you for their memory, their presence in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you touch everybody tonight that's listening. Oh God, do some miraculous things. You said, I sent my word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. So as this word goes forth, may somebody be healed and delivered this night in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. If you have your Bibles, get it. And we're going to turn over to Deuteronomy chapter. No, I'm not going to ask you to turn there. I will go there for you. I'm going to read that. But in a few minutes, I'm going to be at Isaiah chapter 2. So that's where I want you to go and wait for me there. If any of you were brought up in any kind of a Pentecostal church, we had a red songbook and we had a white songbook, and one was called Melodies of Praise. And I will never forget the songs that we sung. We sang them every single Sunday and Wednesday nights, and they would have three to five stanzas, and we would sing every single stanza and the chorus probably 10 times over. But those songs are in our hearts. I mean, they have lasted through time. They're still with us. And today there was one song that just kept going over and over in my spirit. And it's what I've learned to do in my lifetime, and many of you have too. It was called Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Now, we've been going through, nobody has to elaborate on that very much, because we all know where we've been, and we're not sure where we've been. We just know it's been a crisis, and it has been a year, 2020, that we will never forget, and into 2021. So let me just give you the first few lines. In fact, I think this was the fifth stanza. It was the last verse. It says, "What have I to dread?" The old song said, "What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms." And then it just repeated itself. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. Those were the kind of songs we sang. And I'm telling you, when it says, "What have I to dread? What have I to fear?" When I was 16 years old, that song would just go all the way through me when those little fears tried to set up in my young heart. I remember that little song. And I pray that tonight, before this teaching is over, that this will build some kind of a faith in you, because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. So every time you hear the word of God, our faith should rise somewhat. Now, I just prayed a prayer, and it's been on our bulletin when we had bulletins, the scripture that said, when the word goes forth, God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. So if you would open your heart of faith tonight and believe God in his word, his promise for what I just said to you, he sends his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. He can deliver you this night and will deliver you this night from fear, destruction, anything tormenting your precious mind tonight. If you will grasp this word that I'm giving you, leaning on the everlasting arms. Now that's not my title, but I want to talk to you tonight about when all your props are gone. When all the props are gone, and I would think that you would join with me and agree with me in saying many props have been pulled out from under us, not only the world, but the church as well. Now, I looked under everlasting arms in the word. I knew there was a scripture in Deuteronomy, but here's where the songwriter must have gotten that song. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27, it says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So folks, it doesn't matter how far you fall, whether it's in sin or you stumble with a weakness, or you just feel like grief has overwhelmed you, you don't know where to turn, you don't know what to do, just fall on these everlasting arms. It says they are underneath you. The arms of a mother are underneath that newborn baby, and they stay underneath that baby. They will always be there. My arms are still underneath my children and my grandchildren. So I just hear God speaking to us in these verses tonight and in what I'm about to bring you. And I pray that it'll speak to you as it has me this afternoon. Now, God is asking us a question, especially in this important, uncharted, unknown path that we're on right now and all that has happened. I believe he's asking us a question out of Isaiah, and I want you to read it with me. I've got two Bibles here. I didn't want to read it off my iPad and copy it off of all the translations, but I want to read it from these Bibles. But God is asking you, where are you putting your trust? And I believe he's saying your answer cannot be in the weakness of people. For who are they? I mean, who are we? We're just alive for a short time. The Bible says our lives, the lives of man, are like a vapor. They're here and they're gone tomorrow. So I want to read then Isaiah 2:22 and ask you, who are you putting your trust in? Do not put your trust in people, whether they're weak people or strong people, your best friend. You cannot be totally dependent on people, because as the word says, we're a vapor. All right, quick, can I read to you Isaiah 2 and verse 22. Sever yourselves from such a man whose breath is in his nostrils, for of what account is he? He's got breath in his nostrils, and God's saying, I put it there, and then I'll call it back when it's time. But he also talked about this, and I'm not going to elaborate and go into this for a bit, or it would just be a whole nother subject. But he was talking about in the last days, if you'll read the entire chapter, in the last days it says, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Today we are seeing that those who stood so proud and made their boast about what they're going to do, and right now they're shouting it from the housetops. We will continue to abort children until full term. We will continue to take freedom of speech. We will continue. God says, oh, I will take down everything that is proud and lofty. And then he goes on in verse 17 and says, the loftiness of man, listen, shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols he shall utterly abolish. There have been so many idols that fell last year. I know we've all been in a boat, and the restaurants that you and I have enjoyed, even our churches were closed, but there's so many idols that have been brought down from the NFL, from the sports, from the bars. So many things were just absolutely closed. He said the idols will be absolutely abolished. And that's who he was talking about when he said, sever yourselves. Who's he talking to? His own people, the people of Israel, speaking to us, his body today, the body of Christ. Sever yourselves, cut yourself off from such a man whose breath is in his nostrils. So what account is he? All right, let me read it to you in the Amplified, because the Amplified brings us into the original Hebrew here. So I want to read this to you in Isaiah 2 and verse 22. Just listen to that verse. Cease to trust in weak, frail, and dying men whose breath is in his nostrils. For so short a time, the Hebrew word adds. For so short a time, in what sense can he be counted as having intrinsic worth? What's it worth that you would trust him and put all your trust and saying, what a great and a mighty man. Oh, I know we've got good friends and we love our friends. But he said, you cease to trust in those weak vessels and those weak and frail vessels. That's the Amplified. Actually, the New King James gets a little harder than that. It says, sever yourself. There may be some people in your life that you just need to sever yourself from. You need to cut off some old acquaintances and people you're running with. You know, in times past when we got saved, man, we cut off the world. We didn't run with those people we didn't ran with. We didn't go do the things we used to do. We didn't say the things we used to say. Today, you'll hear Christians using not just slang words, but cuss words. I mean, literally. And have no respect for anyone around them. Is it that they don't know any better? Or they haven't read the word? Or they've not been changed? You know what grace does? If you're one of these guys saying, hey, we're under grace. Of course we are. But we get grace that helps us live in his righteousness. Jesus became sin as we became his righteousness. So let's cut these things off as the Bible is saying. Who are we going to trust in? Well, I'm bringing you this word tonight that you must learn how to lean on those everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus. Now, if we went on down to read, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified, we're going to read the next verse in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, cut them off now. Cease to trust in those people. For what worth do they have, God says? For behold, the Lord of hosts, is taking away from Jerusalem and from Judah, listen, the stay and the staff, whose breath is in his nostrils for so, let me read it again. For behold, the Lord of hosts, is taking away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff. What does that mean? It means every kind of prop. Every kind of prop. The whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. Are you kidding me? Our God would do such a thing? He said, oh yes, I'm going to take their stay and their staff. Every kind of prop that holds them up. Now, we've all seen those little trees that people plant in their yards. My daughter's son-in-law, they've got a couple of those trees in their backyards, and the little sticks are still holding them in the ground. They're still holding them up. In case there's a big wind that comes through, the little tree hasn't learned how to stand by itself. But very soon, those trees will take root and they will stand on their own. There comes a time, folks, where you, when you begin to lean on his everlasting arms, you will cease. And you will sever those old relationships, and you won't be able to comfortable to hang with the world. I mean, there's people today, they're more comfortable hanging with the world than they are God's people. I mean, half the people that when we closed the church back in March or whenever the state called us to do that, they've never come back to church. I don't know if it's fear. They're afraid they're going to get the virus. Well, we got it, but we got through it. We came back. So what? Get through it and come back. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You see, Pastor, don't you see Facebook? I send out all these little things about how much I love Jesus. Well, then, when you love him, you want to come be with his people. Did you ever see a drunk man that didn't want to go to a bar? When you love the Lord, you want to go where he's at. You don't allow fear to override you from the house of God. Is fear stronger than the house of the Lord? Is fear what you depend on? Or is it his everlasting arms that hold you up when the props are taken away? I'm going to tell you. You say, well, it's not fear. Well, is it comfort? Have you just learned to love those PJs so much that you just rest back? I know it's cozy and comfortable to stay in the house in the wintertime or in the heat of the summer. But how about your children? They're watching you. How about the neighbors? They're watching you. They're saying, what church do you go to? Oh, your church must be closed. You're not going. No, our church isn't closed. It's open. I'm just not going. What if they ask you why you aren't going? What are you going to say? Because I'm afraid I'll catch COVID? Well, if you've got a stuffy nose or you have a sinus infection or you're sick, well, by all means, stay at home. But I don't think you've been sick for 8 months. You say, yeah, but we don't go anywhere. Yes, you do. You go everywhere. Come on. Give me a break. What are you leaning on? And you say, well, I'm not coming back. Well, go somewhere. If I've already made you mad or upset, go somewhere. I don't care. God said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So please, folks, come on. Let's come. What is important to you? Is the house of God important or those other things? Entertainment was taken away. Oh, no, that was my prop. I'm holding on to this. I'm holding on to that. What happens? What happens when the very props are pulled out from under you? What are you going to do? Well, you're going to stay there and pamper your little self. And it's just not worth it. Man, this thing's going to be over. And you know, everything that can be shaken is being shaken except the kingdom of God. And this kingdom will not be shaken. And if you've built your house on the sand and you're scared of every little thing that comes along, can I tell you, it's going to take you under. But if you stand on that rock, Christ Jesus, when the winds blow and the rains come and the floods rise, you are going to stand like a rock. But if you're standing on fear right now, and you know what's going to happen to you when the winds blow and the rains come and the floods rise? The Bible says you'll fall and great will be the fall of it. You got to learn to lean on these everlasting arms. I'll tell you what, church, you will find out what you're really made of when the props are taken out. You'll find out what you're really leaning on. We'll find out what we're rooted and grounded on. Are you rooted and grounded in your friends? Are you rooted and grounded in your hobbies? What are you rooted in? The Word of God? Are you rooted and grounded in Facebook and that's about it? Hey, Facebook's not your church. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry's on there. And that's fine. And it's a good outlet and it's fun. But I'm just saying, folks, that cannot be your church. And don't be listening to every prophet and every voice that speaks. They're going to lead you. They're going to get you so confused. Right now, some of you are so confused. It's unbelievable. And if you're confused, you know where confusion comes from? It comes from the enemy. And don't you forget, your neighbors are watching you and your kids are watching you. How are your kids doing, by the way? Okay, how's your neighbors coming? You invite them to come to church and they come and then you don't show up? Well, you know what? I'm going to get off that soapbox. But I'm your pastor and I love you and I care about you. And you know what? The first thing you know, you'll be, if you haven't been to church in 6 to 9 months, after a while, you're going to be doing things you never thought you would do. You may be saying things you never thought you would say. And I'm hearing little fibs going on, that people just have some outright things that are not true, and they just flow out of their mouth covering things. I'm like, stop the excuses. And stop. I mean, I'm being soft. I'm saying stop the lies. But that's what happens when people pull away from leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus and get afraid. And yet they go to work every day. They go to Walmart, go to Target, take trips, fly on an airplane. Oh my gosh. You want to fly on an airplane and breathe everybody else's air, but you can't go to church where we have social distanced? Our building's half full. You'll be safe there. Man, I've called Ozone from Bakersfield. They come and spray. We're safe. Well, I told you I was getting off that. I'll get off. Now, I'm going to tell you, the first time I'm talking about some serious, I don't know what some of you would do if something really serious happened to your family. I don't know what you would do. If you heard that your loved one passed, if you heard that your husband or your daughter or something was gone, what would you do? You find out what you're made of. You really do. And it's pretty scary, I got to tell you. It's pretty scary at first because we don't understand it and we don't like it. But I'm watching that Stacy keep her head up and her shoulders back. And there is something about it. When you go through tough times, and all of you have lost a loved one, and many of you did stand, but many of you are still talking about it 5 years later. Some of you are still grieving years down the road. I'm going to tell you, in the spirit realm, if we are not more mature this year than we were last year, something is wrong. You need to be more mature. You need to be better off than you were 5 years ago. If you're still borrowing money from mama and daddy, and you've been saved for 20 years, you've got a problem. Yeah, we learn some things. We mature in Christ. And he wants us to mature, and he wants us to have good things, but he still wants us to learn how to lean on him when everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And the reason I'm talking like this tonight, folks, is because this isn't over yet. It's just not over yet. But I'm trusting God. I just know that we are living in the land of Goshen, and he's going to hold his people strong. Now, you're going to see some really difficult times come to people who are playing a game. I don't care if Pelosi and Schumer and a lot of those people get up there on Ash Wednesday coming up around Easter. They will have a little piece of ash and make a little cross on their heads and act like they're forgiven, or ask God to forgive them, and they will. They will. And go right back to their mess and support all the things they're supporting. I'm going to tell you, all of that is going to be shaken. And if you're playing a game and you're speaking out of this corner with the people who love God, and then the next time you get with your friends, you're talking out of this corner, you're not faithful to his house anymore, you don't care. You say, oh, I care about the things of God, Pastor. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can't be a little bit pregnant. You're either all the way pregnant, or you're not pregnant at all. So, folks, listen, I know you love the Lord, but I'm saying, if you love him, put forth an effort for him. When I fell in love with my husband, you know what? I wanted to be with him. Where he was, I wanted to be. And if you love the Lord, you're going to want to be with him and his people. Now, I know we don't like it. And last year, there was a lot of props pulled out from underneath us. Not just one person escaped it. We all got in on it. But you've seen how strong you are. Some of you just became stronger and stronger and stronger. But come on, let's stick together, man. We need each other. I'm not getting on you unless I am. But I'm just saying, we need you and you need us. I don't think you're worshiping at home like we worship in the house. We come and we worship the Lord. To see those little children, see, they're not going out to super kids. They're staying in the house with us. And I'm watching these little kids worship the Lord with their hands up, tears coming down their face. It doesn't get any better than that. Be an example to your wife. Be an example to your husband. Men, you're the leader of that home. You are the priest in that home. Say, honey, we're going to church and we're not going afraid. We're going to go in there and God's going to look over us. He's going to protect us. And if we get sick, we're going to go home. If we got a stuffy nose, we'll stay home. Don't come if you're sick. Don't give it to us. We've already had it. Some of us have had it. But we're back and we're doing great. Man, there is nothing going on. Okay? So, God sometimes strips everything away from us. Our little security blankets. My little grandson, he's got a little blanket and he loves that. It's his security blanket. And I have some security blankets. And you know what mine is? It's the Lord Jesus. The church and him. Him first. My brother-in-law said to me one time, he said, Paulette, he said, God is just your crutch. And I said, well, you know he is. He's the greatest crutch anyone could have. I said, what is your crutch? I don't have any crutches. I said, you don't? What's that beer in the refrigerator? That's your crutch. That woman you've got to marry when your woman passed, you know, you had to have a woman. You had to maybe have a joint. You had to have a beer. You had to go out to the bar. What's your crutch? Jesus is the best crutch, folks. I'm telling you, there's no one like him. You can't put your trust in anything else but him. And I know I'm talking to the choir with a lot of you because your trust is in the Lord. You know what? When you walk out, you just see the glory of the Lord on you. I know that. I see you. I hear you. I see the tears. I see you worshiping at church. I know who you are. But he's the one that will restore our minds. He's the one. If you can't be alone in your house, I used to have an aunt, and she couldn't even let her home be quiet. She'd say, "Ooh, turn on the TV." They would come up to the ranch, and TV wouldn't be on. There wouldn't be no radio on. Little girls would be playing around. "Ooh, turn the TV on. Turn the radio on. I gotta have some noise." And she couldn't even stay by herself in her house. She had to have somebody come over and stay with her. But you know what? She wasn't. Oh, she still loved the Lord, but they went to church about once a month. Not a worshiper. Didn't listen to Christian music. Had never read her Bible through. I'm talking about that. Okay, that really doesn't strengthen you. But you know what? If you want to have your mind strengthened, the one that you learn to lean on, your crutch, I promise you, will your soul trust in him? He will restore your mind where you won't be afraid and you won't constantly be wearing people out trying to wear on them. If you're not dependent on God, you're going to be codependent on people. And you'll go through people like the woman at the well. She had this man and that man and this man and this man. You always got to have a man. You always got to have a woman. You always got to have a friend. And when you're done with that friend, you get another friend. And then when you're through with that friend, you get another friend. You know, you're just going through people. Why? Because you need your mind restored. You need to get back here. You say, I don't. Yes, you do. Yeah, you do. If that's what's happening in you, he will feel our emotions. Man, I know because I was an emotional person. I'm still pretty emotional. But no more with that fear and depression and fear and darkness and anxiety. He can take those things. He will heal our emotions. He will take care of our health. All right, let me take you to the New Testament. I hear some of you saying, "Oh, Pastor, that's back there in the Old Testament." Well, it's in the New too. You know, Paul wrote so much of it, and Paul went through more shaking than any of us could ever imagine. But in Galatians 6, chapter 14, Paul made some things very clear. Please listen to this. Paul makes clear that he didn't glory in anything or anyone because the world was crucified to him and he was crucified to the world. He didn't care what the world had to offer him. He could care less what the world offered because none of it matters anyway. Listen, he kept all those things, including people, places, and his possessions. He kept them all in the right balance. Some people, it's all about making another dollar. It's all about more things, more, more, more. Paul said, none of that moves me. It's all dung. It's all manure. It's all fertilizer compared to who he is in my life. So he said, I will keep all things, people, places, and Paul could have anything he wanted. I mean, Paul was he was an intelligent mind. I mean, he was Jew. He was a Jewish person through and through. He was a Pharisee. He knew that Old Testament law. I mean, he walked in the law, and he was not dependent on any of it. Even when God called him, he said, "God, it's not my will. It's your will." He was not dependent on even that law. And he didn't allow, he didn't make anything become his joy. He didn't depend on a person to be his joy. He didn't depend on a person to give him peace. He didn't depend on anyone to give him victory. Yeah, I'll say it. You know, I talk to not more women than men. I talk to a lot of men too. And they will say, my wife's not meeting my needs. My husband's not meeting my needs. My husband doesn't make me happy. My wife, you know why? You're depending on them to give you that joy. Paul said, you can't depend on a person to give you that peace that passes understanding. People don't have that. You're expecting too much out of them. Your expectancy is in them. And when you do that, they will fail you every single time, folks. Now, I know we love our husband and our wives and the children, and they should make you happy. And it would be good to really enjoy that relationship. And I believe you can. And I believe you should. And God wants us to. But he said, but don't lean on them to make you happy. Because today it may be real good and you may be honeymooning for 3 days in a row. But then the rest of the week, it's like, oh my God. That man you gave me, that woman you gave me. Learning to lean on Jesus. Now when the prop of joy is pulled out, you better learn how to do it. I hope God make us the same. Just make us just like that. So if you're leaning on those everlasting arms, let me ask you again. What have you to dread and what have you to fear leaning on those everlasting arms? Those of you that's gone through some really difficult times the last couple of weeks, I say to you, what have you to dread? What have you to fear? Say, Pastor, that's kind of rough. No, it's not me, it's God. He said, you lean on my arms, I'll carry you just like a baby. When my husband and daughter died, I learned that one of God's Hebrew names was Jehovah Jireh. And you know what it meant? Not just the one that does supply, but the breasted one. I'm sorry, the El Shaddai, the breasted one, the strong one. And when I walked through those first days without them, when my foundation was totally pulled out, the breasted one, it was just like a mother gives her baby that breast milk. And that breast milk has all the nutrients in it. It's like sugar water. And that mother gives that baby the special nutrients. God put that in a mother's breast that will feed that baby on those first couple of days of life. And God took care of me and he'll take care of you. He will take care of you in these first few days of loss or failure or whatever you're going through. And he has just the right spiritual nutrients to pick you up. He will coddle you. He will carry you in his arms. He will wrap you up tight in those little swaddling clothes and carry you. I promise you by the word of the Lord. Now, if I'm going to ask you, what have you to dread? What have you to fear? It's very important that you get the first stanza of that song. Let me read that to you. The writer wrote it like this. What a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, and what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. So for us not to dread or not to fear, we must have this first. We must have the fellowship with him. Meet with him every single day. Have joy. If you to have joy in your heart, you're going to have the fellowship. You say, I don't have time. You get up an hour earlier. You always get up an hour earlier to meet with him. Or 30 minutes earlier, 15. I'm not telling you. I'm just saying, beat the press wherever you're going. You get in there and fellowship with him and sit with him. You can take your Bible and read it. Yesterday morning, I just put on a couple of songs and listened to those and praised with him and talked to him. And I want to say this before I close, and I'm closing right now. Someone just said, thank God. Well, you probably already turned me off by now, but anyway, listen. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I preached out of Song of Solomon so many times, especially years ago, and But one of the verses in Song of Solomon 8 and 5, it says this, who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? And I always said, Lord, let it be me. It is me. It is you, church. It is the body of Christ. It is you and all your pain and all your hurt and all your fear and all your despair and all whatever you're going through. Let it be you. I see many of you doing this right now. I've watched you over 2020 and I saw you stand when you couldn't do anything else but stand. When we walked in the grocery store, we saw the toilet tissue was gone and the paper towels were gone and the water was gone. What did it say? Cease to trust in weak, frail, and dying men. And then it went on to say, behold, the Lord of hosts has taken away from Jerusalem and Judah the stay and the staff, every kind of prop, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. When we saw our water gone, we were blown away. We could hardly believe what we were seeing. We would walk down the aisles and it wasn't America. It wasn't America to see the aisles emptied out and the bins were empty from food. The soups were gone. Certain food items were gone. And every now and then you see it again, and we may see more of that. So I'm just saying, what I'm telling you tonight, folks, is so important, and I really didn't intend to go in many of these places. I mainly want to talk to you about not leaning on anybody else but the everlasting arms of God when the props are pulled out. So who's that coming up out of this wilderness? I can tell you who it is. In Song of Solomon 21:21, it's going to be, who is that coming up out of the wilderness? It's going to be you and me, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. And you're going to hear somebody else, some of you not going to church, or maybe going to church, and you heard me preach it tonight. And you'll send me something next week where somebody preached it, and you're like, oh, Pastor, this is the greatest word I've ever heard. Listen to this. And I'm like, where were you, baby? Where were you, sweetheart? I taught that last Wednesday night or 6 months ago. That was one of the words I brought back in the beginning. I don't know if people listen. But all I can say is Sunday morning, I told you God is going to awaken the spirit of his church. And he is. Because we can't do it. You don't know how to do that. Now, you can lean on him. But as far as awakening your dead man, you can't do that. That's going to take him to wake you up. So let us say, oh, Lord, it's me. Now, due season, and I close, 6:9 talks about it. Galatians 6:9 talks about that due season. But you got to remember something about due season, folks. Let me remind you. I know I wish I had a long time tonight. But the due season is God's season. It's not ours. See, and that's where we get all worked up. Because we just get in a hurry and we want him to do it. But God doesn't get in a hurry. He's just not in a hurry. He takes time to do it right. And it will be his season and not our season. But you can rest assured when he's finished, it will be done right. Why? He's a master builder. He's just a master builder. And he knows exactly what he's doing. Now, you and I don't have a clue what he's doing. Everybody's trying to have a word right now. But can I tell you, nobody knows what's going on. Everybody's having a thus saith the Lord and a dream. And some of them are awesome and some are encouraging. But no one really knows. But one thing I do know, lean on the everlasting arms of the Lord. And you come through leaning on him. Who is that coming up out of the wilderness? Leaning on her beloved. That's who he is. So we don't have all the answers. But I'm telling you, I'm so happy to know the one that does have the answers. He's got them all, church. He knows all of the answers. And can I tell you, my brother or sister, precious young man or woman listening tonight, maybe you're just tore up right now from the floor up. I mean, you're just tore up. You don't know what's going to happen, and you're scared. You're scared. I mean, seasoned people right now are really, they're scared of what's coming on the earth. Luke told us, he said, there will be people whose hearts will fail them for fear for looking after those things that are coming on the earth. You need not fear, but you do need to lift up your head because our redemption's drawing nigh. Jesus is coming very soon, folks. So, you know what? Let me lead you to Jesus tonight. If you're a Christian, come on in and help us. If you don't want to come back to Landmark or go to some church, but don't forsake assembling yourselves together now. If you were going to do that, you should have done it back in 1952. Don't do it in 2021, because Jesus is coming and he's saying, what will I find when I get back? All right. Would you pray with me right now? I pray you're watching. You don't know Jesus. Oh, you've got to know him. Invite him into your heart. He will heal your mind. He will heal your spirit. He will heal your emotions. And nobody else, no man, no woman can do for you what he will do. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up my precious brother, my precious sister, that little girl, that little boy, whoever may be listening right now. Maybe they've strayed away and walked way away from you. They have hidden sin and they haven't admitted it, or they haven't, Lord, they have justified it and they haven't repented of that sin. But tonight they're under conviction. Conviction comes to heal you. It never comes. It never comes to beat you down. It never comes to condemn you. Conviction comes to heal you and deliver you. Father, now in the name of Jesus, may my precious, precious friend watching tonight that needs you, invite you into their heart. Just pray it like this. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and deliver me from this darkness and this fear and the pain and the hurt. Deliver them. Deliver me. Come on, just pray, Lord, deliver me and come into my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh God, I pray that you will strengthen everyone watching tonight as we come over that mountain, through this wilderness, leaning on our beloved's everlasting arms. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. I love you so much. See you Sunday morning. 10 o'clock. God bless.